Yeah, the way I think of it sometimes is, you know, we're a smart bunch of guys, and we could have gone into a lot of other professions. But, you know, I've known Matt for decades, and I think he's a brilliant guy. I know he's a brilliant guy. He could have made a terrific neurosurgeon, but I wouldn't ask Matt to do brain surgery on me. And I think it's the same thing. No, I think it's the same thing with this. It's like, not to brag or try to mystify it, but, you know, gee, you do learn a lot of stuff when you actually work at it. And I have a very long list. I've made an awful lot of mistakes, but I like to think I've learned from them. And you can benefit from that by working with people who are professionals. And they don't have to be as old as us. They can be, they can have even a few years of experience, but just by focusing on it, it makes a big difference. It really does. And it adds a different perspective culturally to what you're doing. And it makes it fun, frankly. If you get the right people involved, they're going to challenge you, but in fun ways. And it's going to make it a lot more interesting than just trying to plug at it without taking into account these techniques.
Right. I think it's also important, if you run a business, for everybody at the business to participate in the process. A big part of design thinking is it's a multidisciplinary process. So the best solutions come when you have maybe a business person, a technologist, maybe a designer. If you're running healthcare, you actually have the nurses and the doctors and the receptionist, everyone working together on the solutions rather than just it coming from one person. It's human-centered on both ends.
Yeah. And it's not just within your organization. It's also whoever is in the whole is in the whole chain. The example in that Tim Brown's book that I was talking about, the first one, is they invented these bicycles for people who are afraid of bicycles. And the problem is their business model was that they were going to have them manufactured. It was the Shimano, the parts manufacturer that came up with the concept working with IDEO. And the problem was they came with a great product. They tested it with real people. Real people loved it, their target market. They forgot about bike shops. And their business model was they had to sell these bikes through bike shops. And they had done all their dealing with executives at bike companies. And bike shop personnel hated the whole idea of simple bicycles, and they wouldn't sell them. So, you know, after a few years, they had to pull a plug on the whole thing. If they had thought to bring bike shop people into the project, they might have found the right twist that would have made this practical, or they would have realized they couldn't sell them that way. They had to sell them some other method.
It's a great story, Dave. Perfect.
Yeah, that actually leads into the next question about what are the risks in using design thinking.
I thought about this question. I don't think there are a huge number of risks. I mean, you have to use the method properly. But if you use the method properly, I think it's actually one that lowers your risk. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is, it involves your customers from the very beginning. So you're getting feedback right away as to whether your ideas are good or not. You're involving as David and Joe and John were talking about, you're involving the entire group of people that are going to provide this product or this service. And so you're hearing their concerns, you know, right from the very beginning. Maybe the risk would be that you strive for perfection and you try to, you know, wait too long and come out with the perfect product. A better solution is to come up with something that's better than what people have today and then put it out there and learn from it. But that's the only risk that I can think of is, you know, trying to make it too perfect. You know, others have thoughts on this.
Sure. I think there too. Matt is largely right, at least in my experience. It normally de-risks things quite a bit. But there are two, let's say, fail areas, Alex, that could be problems for those trying it. The first is on the business side, not involving all the functions like David and Joe have mentioned. If you leave out a critical function, you're likely to get a lopsided solution that won't be the best total solution. And secondarily, Dave talked about the Shimano biking example. And the other error that you can have is you can visit the wrong customers. So I think the two errors that I can think of are not involving the totality of functions involved in creating the product or service, and or visiting not visiting the proper set of customers, where customers use in the broadest sense. It's not the end buying customer, it's all the people that touch it in the consumption chain.
Something at the D school that they teach the students there is you learn from your extreme users. So the customers who really love what you do, or the ones who really hate you. So you want to go to those two, because that's where you can either learn what's really great about what you're doing and how can you improve it, and where are you really falling down. And I think a lot of people focus in the middle, and they want to move those people from the middle to a really loving it. And that's a lot harder to do because they don't have the passion on either end, and they won't be as involved in the process and trying to help you.
Yeah, that's a great technique. I can add another risk. And maybe this comes from being here in Montreal. But there can be a tendency to fall in love with the appearance of design thinking, and to have huge workshops and living labs, and we're involving the people and the customers and everything else. But you're not really actually going through the steps. You're not really developing a real understanding. You're not putting enough work into the ideation or the inspiration, or trying to come up with a solid concept. You're just playing. And the converse of that, I don't want to discourage people, because the converse of that is, I think a lot of times business people perceive the whole process as playing, and they dismiss it as, you know, airy-fairy and I'm just going to talk to people, right? You know, it's about the fundamentals or something. Done right, this is an extremely disciplined process that basically figures out how to marry the customer's interests with the business's interest.
That's great, Dave. Well, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on something Joe said, that it's not really a risk, but it's a benefit of design thinking, and that is, in general, they classify needs as in two categories. One are extant or observable needs, and the others are hidden needs that are often called delighters. And so one of the things that design thinking gets at is not what people actually express as their needs, but rather it helps you envision things that they didn't express and are hidden needs, which are delighters. And there's a wonderful thing about that, and this is a fellow named Kano came up with this saying, which is the delighters of today are the must-be's of tomorrow. And you see this in cars all the time, for example, with cup holders. And that's a great example of, you know, a hidden need. Who would have ever thought of cars needing cup holders? But when they appeared, people were delighted. So I just wanted to kind of highlight what Joe had said as being really not a risk. It's actually a strength of getting at those hidden needs.
Great. Are there any examples of like design thinking disasters that would make great YouTube videos that we can watch?
Design thinking disasters.
I participated in a class at the D school, and they give the students a lot of projects to do, and using design thinking. One of them, they were going to have a rap concert on the campus there at Stanford, and it was during the day in the student union. And so the students did all this marketing. They put chalk on the sidewalks. They handed out flyers. And they had interacted with thousands of students. And then they were just convinced. They were convinced they were actually going to have to hire extra security guards because so many people were going to show up. And then when it came time for the concert, no one showed up. So, like, I think believing your own hype is a real problem with it. So, like, those students were being nice. But the concert itself just wasn't designed for when students go to concerts. It wasn't at a place that would have been a fun place for a rap concert. and it was a flawed design from the start, and there was no amount of hype that would have improved it.
Terrific. So if people want to get started in design thinking, how would you recommend people get started? How do they find experts?
It's not an easy question to answer. There are a lot of people that will claim to do it. The first thing to say is that don't just go searching like on Google for design thinking. There are a number of other methodologies that are related. Human-centered design is a big one. You might want to spend a little time educating yourself into what it's about, reading some books. The book I always recommend first to people is The Design of Everyday Things by Don Norman, which is not so much about design thinking as it is just about understanding how people interact with the world and with objects in the world. And perhaps reading some other materials such as the Tim Brown book. But in the end, if you're looking for an expert, you know, what you're going to want to do is ask them to walk you through some projects that they've actually done using these methods and see that there's a good fit with what you're looking for.
Excellent. I mean, obviously the people in this room or virtually in this room are probably a pretty good place to start. Yeah. I want to, you know, thank all of you for participating, getting up really early in the morning. Thanks, John. To wrap up, we've been speaking with Matt Bilge, who's the user experience designer at Carbon Black and Waltham. John Carter's principal with TC Gen. David Rollard, who's been designing user experiences for 35 years, and Joe Ranth with Joe Ranth Design, who's also a user experience designer. This is Alex Cooper with Radio Entrepreneurs. I want to thank you for joining us today on our special episode on design thinking. Thank you very much.